Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Will you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditation of these assembled hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, for you are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. In the Gospel this morning, we learn a lesson that our modern world seems to have completely abandoned. You see, there cannot be two opposing truths that exist alongside each other. And more than that, not only can there not be two opposing truths that exist standing next to each other, but the Lord has actually called us Christians to distinguish between the truth and the lie. We may not pretend that the lie does not exist. We are instead called to flee from the liars. That is, all of those who falsely teach in the name of Christ, for they will destroy your faith. And this is not a new teaching either. Consider the words of Jeremiah the prophet, spoken 2,600 years ago, saying, "Do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you. They make you worthless, for they speak a vision of their own heart, not from the mouth of the Lord." And then he goes on to give all kinds of examples of how these so-called prophets spew forth lies that have in fact led people away from God. Our Lord will not have this. And interestingly, he proves it in the setting that our lesson takes place in. Jesus has been teaching the multitude in a lengthy discourse, which we call the Sermon on the Mount. And he goes on for chapter after chapter after chapter, it's that long, about how the teachers of their day have led these people astray. "You have heard it said, but I say to you," is the common refrain of Christ's words. He tears down the lies of the false teachers, and he stands up the truth concerning many things, including the will of God towards marriage and the sixth commandment, the love of neighbor and the entire second table of the law, prayer, fasting, etc., etc. The list goes on and on. There cannot be about anything in this world two opposing truths standing next to each other. Jesus will not let a lie exist next to the truth, and neither shall we. Our text begins with Jesus saying, "Beware of the false prophets, you who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves." We must first understand, as we've already said, that a false prophet is anyone who comes to you with a teaching that deviates from the eternal truths, they do not change, of God's word. But the most shocking part is how these false prophets come. For they come in sheep's clothing. The sheep's clothing are the many ways in which these false prophets make themselves equal to the true prophets. That is to say, often they have a call into the office of the holy ministry. They often adorn themselves with the word of God, even. And they usually live a godly life. Furthermore, these false prophets do not seek the ruin of their hearers in a worldly way. They're friendly, and they even give sound advice at times. And because of this, many people listen to them, and they follow what they say. But according to our Lord's saying, we must beware, because underneath this false facade is a ravenous wolf who wants to destroy your faith. This is true not because they've led you into some way of stealing your home from you or teaching you to wear strange clothing or to live in a world where certain sins are confessed to be okay. It's because they want to tear from you your eternal salvation. And this is far more important than any of your stuff, any of your things in this world. The question should be, of course, how are we going to know the difference? How are we to know what they are inwardly if outwardly we see all of these things? Look at the words of Christ. He does not tell us that we will know them because they publicly burned their Bibles out in front of the house, not because they were defrocked and removed from the office, not because they live ungodly lives. Of course, those certainly are signs of false teachers as well, and you should beware of them, but that's not what Jesus is getting at here. Here we are concerned with those who come in sheep's clothing. Jesus tells us that we will know them instead by their fruits. And this isn't to be confused with the fruit worthy of repentance that each of us Christians bears as we do good work. Instead, this is to be understood as the fruit of the false teaching. Where does it lead? If baptism becomes your work, that tears down the atonement. I don't care if everything else said is right, that false teacher does not believe that Christ paid for every single one of your sins, and he wants you to pay with him. This is how you will know who they are. We must know what God has revealed to us in his word, and we must compare it to what is being taught. Those who tear down the pure word of God are false teachers, and they do, in fact, lead their hearers to eternal destruction. That's a fact. Now, all of that said, it has become clear to me as I have preached this text for several years that while everyone seemingly understands all of this, we even get the head nods in the crowd all throughout the sermon. I don't know that everyone actually does. If everyone did know this, we would not find books written by Tim LaHaye, Max Lucado, Rick Warren, and Joyce Meyer, etc., 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 sitting on the bookshelves and coffee tables of so many of our homes. If everyone understood this, we wouldn't find anyone watching Benny Hinn and David Jeremiah on their televisions. This is true. And these are only a few examples of the false prophets that we are warned about. Yes, I know they wear fancy clothing. Yes, I know they have written many books that say Jesus on the front or somewhere inside. I know that the world has brought them up to the number one bestseller list, along with some pornography book. And this is the standard? I know that they quote the Bible when they are speaking. But even the devil himself, we are told, can disguise himself as an angel of light. And the devil himself quotes the Bible. Just ask our first mother, who was led astray by the first false teacher, who is the devil himself. They have come in sheep's clothing, and they have won the hearts of many, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves, devouring the faith of those who listen to them, who read their garbage. Tim LaHaye and David Jeremiah are of the same fold. They're both American Baptist evangelicals. They share some of the same problems as Max Lucado, though he belongs to the Church of Christ. All three of them publicly, just Google it, all three publicly deny baptismal regeneration. All three of them publicly deny the real presence of Christ in the sacrament. And ultimately, far worse than anything else, they deny the atonement, that Christ's sacrifice actually paid for all of your sins by adding your own works to the doctrine of salvation. And these lies are but a few examples of what they wrongly teach as truth. And such lies destroy faith, no matter how strong you think your faith is. They tear down faith in the one who has made full payment for all of our sins by shedding his blood from his body upon the cross. They seek to take away your faith in the one who promised to deliver that very same sacrificed body and blood into your own body with all of its benefits of forgiveness and life and salvation. Their lies lead to the destruction of faith in the truth that this same Redeemer gave baptism as a washing of rebirth and a renewal of the Holy Spirit. Oh, and I forgot to mention Joyce Meyer, who used to be a Lutheran, by the way, but left the church because, I quote, "I am not poor, I am not miserable, and I am not a sinner." That is despicable. You know better than this, dear Christians. You are poor, miserable sinners, as we confessed at the beginning of the service, for whom Christ has died. And to confess anything else is, as Paul says, to take Jesus down off of the cross. Who needs that if you can do your own work and you're not a sinner? There is only one truth. They can't be right and us right at the same time. One must be false. This same Christ who is tearing down such false doctrines among his people and is now doing the same today comes to deliver to you the forgiveness of sins that he won for you in his word and his sacraments each time you come to them. These false teachers want to take that from you. Don't let them. So here we are now, tearing down these lies that these false prophets put up alongside the truth, and in so doing, we are stripping away their clothing and revealing who they truly are. They are not sheep. They are wolves, only wearing sheep's clothing. And just to get ahead of the most common objection that I always hear when I have this conversation, which is, but not everything they say is bad, Pastor. What did Jesus say in our text? Every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Everything they say, everything they write is tainted by their false teaching. It is 100% impossible for them to bear good fruit. You cannot deny the atonement and have anything to say about who Christ is and why that matters to sinners like you and me who are in need of redemption. It's impossible. If you have indulged yourself with these false prophets, repent. Here it is. Burn their books in your backyard while singing today's chief hymn. That way they can't destroy the faith of those who those books, whose hands those books would fall into. And in fact, invite us all to join you while we're at it so we can roast hot dogs on the fire and rejoice together that contrary to what these false teachers would have us believe, Christ actually does love us enough. That his sacrifice actually was payment enough. That his gifts of word and sacrament are enough. And by the way, if you want something good to read, don't go to the poster of the guy with the glossy smile and the suit and the tie on the side with a bajillion books and the title number one bestseller. It almost always goes bad. If you want help, ask for it. Your pastor would love to give you something that won't destroy your soul. I promise. There's so much more that could be said in this regard. I could name hundreds of names. I could give you hundreds of examples of groups. I could tell you about history, how all of these things have resurfaced again and again, and this was its name here, and this was its name there. But that's not what we're here to do. I'm not here to give you a list. I'm here to tell you what Jesus said. Jesus taught his hearers that they are to be vigilant always, no matter what the false prophet is, no matter what the false teaching is. Our text begins with a command, not a suggestion, not a, it could be that your faith will be destroyed. He says, beware. Keep watch. Do it. That means that you have to be ready. You have to instruct yourself. You must learn your catechism and have it in your heart. You must daily be in the Word of God. You must regard the chief service of the week as what it truly is, the time and place where Christ comes to meet you and give you his word and teach you his truth, the one and only truth there are. This way, when the false prophet comes all dressed up like a cute little sheep, we may see the bad fruit of his false teaching, not be led astray, and sing words like, as silver tried by fire is true from all adulteration, so through God's word shall men endure each trial and tribulation. Its light, the word's light, beams brighter through the cross and is purified from human dross, shining through every nation. God grant that we would see this, that we would know it, that we would hold fast to it, that this is the only truth, the only redemption that we have. And it's far more comforting than what these liars want you to believe anyway. Hold firm to it, dear Christians. Christ has died for you. You are His. He paid the ransom. He has given you eternal life. This is most certainly true. In the name of Jesus, amen.